the subject that we're dealing with, which is women in education, almost seems absurd. Most of the Pesukim, I mean, the moniker would say women are pivotal to education, women are our teachers, women are the teacher at home. It's clearly the community. And yet, from a halakhic perspective, the question is, we're going to have to ask, what are the halakhic obligations that in a woman as an educator of children, and as being educated? Now, education includes more than just Torah. Education includes how to function as a Jewish personality, as a Jew within a Jewish community. Okay, so the question that we're going to ask now, what I'd like to do is to turn to page 15 in the English, 15 in the Hebrew, I'm sorry, and 9 in the English. I will be reading from the Hebrew. The question we're going to deal with is a mother obligated to the education of her children? Now, what do I mean? This is a very fundamental point. What do I mean obligated? It means that if a parent does not fulfill his obligation, who's the one that the community questions? So the question is, suppose there's a father in the community, and do I pressure him? Do I make dispensations for him? Do the Beis Din throw him in prison? And there are things the Beis Din can do to you to force you to do what they want you to do. Okay? But the question is, who in the family do you pressure? Father, both, either? And who do you call the responsibility of education? So the discussion begins with a Mishnah, which we're going to see from another perspective, but also the question, who has to educate? But on the question of who has to educate, that's with the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Ish Madir et Beno Benazir. A father can, if he likes, say to his son, you are a Nazir. I'm making you a Nazir. That's when the child is a minor. If the child is a minor, the father can say to the child, you're a Nazir. Now, I should just point out that if the child says, oh, I'm not, or if any of the relatives, older sisters, cousins, uncles, oh, he's not, then the child's not a Nazir. That's a technicality, because this is a tremendous finish. It's tremendous. But if nobody objects, and the father says, you, my son, are a Nazir, the son says, okay. He becomes a Nazir. Not because he's what? That's correct. He will not be his obligation of politics. But this is the power of the father. The father has this power. Yes. Nazir, some Nazir is referring to this. The father feels that the kid is running wild. There are some issues there. There are certain rules in the Zila. It's neither here nor there, first of all. It's really not what the message is. Ha'ish, so the Mishnah says, Ha'ish, Madir et Beno, Benazir. Father can make his son Benazir. The Gemara then says, Ish in Ava Isha, no. A man can do it, but the mother, the father can do it, but the mother can't. My Tama, what's the reason? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Halacha Hi Benazir. There's no logic to it. It's a decree from heaven. Halacha Lamoshe Sinai. Halacha Benazir. Halacha Lamoshe Sinai. We have a Masoret that's in fact the father's right in his children. The Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Chanina Amar Resh Lakish. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yochanan Chanina quotes Resh Lakish, who is Rabbi Yochanan's son-in-law and speaking partner, Kedei Lecham Chodemitz. It's not a halacha, it's Sinai, but there's a reason for it. The father the father has the right to educate his son. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, then the mother too should do it. Implication that the mother has an obligation to educate her son as well. If this kid is running amok and you want to say, look, I want you, I'm making you a nazir, exactly like parents very often will take their kid and put them through a military. Now it's saying, you know, very often this seems strange, but these are kids who need discipline, and you'll put them in a situation, need discipline. Well, this is just maybe a similarity. It's not a father who's in the field. It's just your child needs greater discipline. And he says, I'm making you a nazir for 30 days, you'll learn a certain amount of discipline. So the Gemara asks, Ihachi afilu ishanami, a woman too, should be able to do this to her son. Savar, the Shlokish is of the opinion, Ish chayav lachanech beno b'mitzvot. A father is obligated to educate his son in mitzvot. Ve'ein ha'isha chayevet lachanech beno. But a mother does not have an obligation to educate her son. So therefore, since this is the obligation of the father to educate, Therefore, the Torah gave the father the right to make the child a nazir. Hold on. Don't forget the question. Now, the idea that the father has an obligation to educate the child and not the mother should not be as strange as it seems. I want you to turn to page 23, both in Hebrew and English. And this is a Mishnah that we learned. A while back when we talked about mitzvah tasechus man v'ma, we talked about women's obligation. This is a famous Mishnah. The Mishnah is as follows: Kol mitzvot haben al ha'ar. All mitzvot that the father has to do to the son, all mitzvot pertaining to a child, al ha'av, which are on the father to do to his child, ha'anashim chayavim v'anashim tuvot. The father is obligated and the mother is free. The chol mitzvot ha'av al ha'ben, but all the things that the son has to do to the mother, the kibbut of the aim, echad anashim. The language is very difficult, I agree. Let's try it again. Called the Chol Mitzvot Ha'av Aladeh, all mitzvot pertaining to the father, which are on the son, on the child. Echad Anoshim, Echad Noshim Chayavim, both males and females are obligated equally in Kibbut Aladeh. Now, skip down to the bottom of page 23 in the Hebrew. In English, it's on page 24. The Gemara asks, Ezo hi mitzvah aben alav. What are the mitzvot of the son that pertain to the son, the Tosefta turns it exactly wrong. This is one of the interesting problems. But Ezel mitzvah ha-ben alav, the Tosefta, that this phrase means, what are the mitzvot that the ben has to do to his father? It's different than what the Mishnah says. Those are the facts of life, we have to live them. Okay, the Tirsa, that is, the language means exactly the opposite. Alav means that the son has to do to the father. So what are these mitzvot? Machil, Mashke, Malvish, Umechaseh, Machlis, Motzi, all the mitzvot of Kibbut Eva'ei, which is to feed and to drink, to malvish and achaseh, to clothe the father they needed, to take them in, to take them out, to wash their hands. Echad ha'ish, v'achat ha'isha, both male and female obligated equally. Now the Tosefta says, Ela sha'ish sipek b'yad ha'lasot, but the man, we assume, always has the opportunity to fulfill. The Isha ain't sipek biyad alasot, מפני שרשות בעלי עליו. But the woman does not owe it to the opportunity because she has obligations to her family. Okay, now this is the famous halakha that a married woman is free from certain obligations to keep over aim because of the previous familial responsibilities. That's what the pasuk means when it says. When it's... Chazal say that when she marries, she part of the contract with her husband is that her husband and children. That's it. That's the halacha. What? So now King Azovisha Tabidit Mod the Bakishto, right. But that's first of all that's before Matan Torah. You can't hold it. But before Matan Torah. As far as the legal obligations after Matan Torah, there may very well be different rules, and I don't know how to learn that question. But the Gemara says, Ish et Aviv Imo Tira'u. And we learned this. The Gemara says, it starts off in the singular and ends up in the plural. Why? This is the Gemara. Because Ish is Aviv et Imo Tira'u, because it's not always Ken. Tira'u. No Asher. This the Gemara learns this pasuk that a woman is that's why it starts in single and ends up with a plural, because women are obligated, but sometimes it's ish, sometimes it's only the man who's obligated. And the Gemara learns that a woman has prior obligation to her husband if there is a clash.
Did not have all the marks.
and she was demanding of her daughter to do things which was coming with her family back. And this woman was in a shambles because she wanted to, and her family was falling to pieces. And the husband saw what was happening. He said, "Listen, I don't want you to do this. It's tearing you to pieces." And then she said, "Guilt is a wonderful motive." And she said, "Yes, but then and that." I said, no. So she came and discussed it with me. And I said, "I'm sorry to say that your husband's wrong. That if he sees that it's tearing the family apart, your obligation is to your family. What about mother?" I said, "Maybe you can find some people to help mother. The fact that your mother exists, you do it." It's up to them in these situations. You have to be a little bit of a chacham. The halacha gives you guidelines.
And if the situation was reversed and it was the husband who was being pulled away by a mother who...
The situation, if we're talking about a situation, well, you're asking a very good question. And the Gemara says that if it's a situation where the husband says, "I can't handle it," okay? Because the Gemara, this is the example, the mother would ask him to get her, this is the case the Gemara did. The mother would say, she was like in her 90s, and husband, she said, I want to get a husband. He said, "Okay, I'll try to get a husband." Then she said, "I want a husband like you." So we brought him, a husband. Answer this and this. "Oh, I'll try." And she said, "I want a husband exactly like you." So we picked up, gave the keys to some caretakers. Is it could we do it? She was making absurd demands. The Gemara goes on of a situation where you get to a situation where you cannot rationally reason with your parents, where you cannot, you've lost stability, you do your best. That's all you can do. And if that's not enough, these are not easy situations, and the halacha simply gives us some minor guidelines. There are a lot of books that are now being written on how to handle halachic situations. But some of them, the only answer I can give you is the answer that I was having trouble with my parents. I went to Rabbi Lipinski. I said, "Wow, what do I do in this situation?" He said, "I had a similar situation." I said, "Well, what did you do?" And I did what I thought was right, and I came to Yom Kippur and Zuzel holding the movie, and I thought, "Fine." The point is that a woman has clear priority. Then you get to a situation where you're unless. Unless means you're in a situation where it's out of your control. First of all, financial money is a very interesting consideration. The major obligation of money is from men. The father of Rabbi Shlomo would always say, "Get sick, get sick, rich." Anyway, the situation, it's not true. Then you have the situation called honest. Honest means, I can't do it. Losing my marbles, I can't keep finding something else. Honest is us. If it's me or them, the halacha is very clear. If it's me or them, it's me first. I know this doesn't sound easy, but there's no rule. But it doesn't.
You or
that's
you
usually or not the bottom line.
You or you
from
the doctor of the family
is different. Unfortunately, the real life situation is very and it gets really comfortable.
That's
tomorrow. Johnny the rules are the best. Mama Liba boy. But again, there's clear priority in certain things. Okay, now that's the exception. Eizuhi mitzvot ha'av al haben. What are the mitzvot that a father is obligated to child? chayav lemulo. You got to circumcise the child, right? Chayav lemulo. V'lifdoto is the firstborn to redeem. V'lelamdo to teach him Torah. V'lelamdo umle, teach him a trade. V'lasio isha, and to marry him off. V'yesh omrim af lo shito benar, even to teach him how to serve, and to protect my Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol she'en ha-malamed et b'mel u'manut, if there's a teacher, this child, or son, betray, Yehuda, this might as well teach him. They don't have a trade, so that's what they're about. Right? He's not going to give him a good trade, he might as well teach him how to be a good thief. Now, the poskim down here, now notice, all these applications, we're not talking about, and I want to focus in this Gemara, in this particular Tosefta that we're reading, on the father. This is the father's obligation. The father's obligation is to teach him to circumcise and to redeem, and to teach him Torah, and to teach him a trade, and to marry him off. These are all a father's obligation. And even if some of these are relevant to women, and the post can talk about this, teaching a trade, getting married them off. The Gemara actually talks about that. A son may let him make a shidduch, but the daughter will have to lose his obligation to buy her jewelry to make her beautiful. The obligation, the mother is, you know, that's the only shot, is also for the husband, for a daughter, and make sure she gets married. It's clearly, it's a swing, it's also to the daughter. These are all father obligations. So the idea that the care, that when it comes to education, it comes to spiritual obligations of father and father, this should not be too strict. Okay? However, the story is not now, let's do me a favor. Let's go back to page 15 again. And page 15, again an 8 in the English. And, or 9, I said, sorry, 9 in English. And remember now we have Rabbi Yochanan, we know that Reish Lakish holds. I mean, how do you understand the Gemara? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, why the father? So the Gemara says, because it's halacha l'moshe yitzir. It's a tradition of the Messiah. What about the mother, says the Gemara? So what about the father? What's halacha l'moshe yitzir? Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, no, the logic here is the father's obligated to educate the son. So the Gemara says, and what about the mother? Says the Gemara, no, a mother's not obligated to educate her son. That's what he owes. That is what he owes. You could argue, we don't know. What you could argue either way. It seems pretty clear that the Gemara, it seems one could argue that no, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't disagree with Reish Lakish. He's just pointing out that why I'm a mother, why is it written? Because the reason is because I'm not going to push in Sinai. There are a lot of things by Muslim that come based on a lot of alternatively, you could say, no, then he does this, because the Gemara says, what about the mother? Why not the mother? Until that point, the Gemara assumed the mother was obligated to educate the child too. It was only Reish Lakish who came along and said, no, he holds that the father's the educator and the family, not the mother. Yes.
So if he says that the father is obligated to
We learned that all the mitzvot of Mandroma were mainly because
the woman has so many things at home and...
Right, that's and, one reason, one rationale. Right, that's one rationale. So he knows that she's not obligated. That he learns that...
What did we say about the women, about the mitzvot? We said
the mother is not obligated. I'm trying to understand the question. The mother is not obligated to educate the children. Let me put it this way. The father, when it comes to Torah, It's clear, one could argue, since a woman doesn't have an obligation to learn Torah per se, that she doesn't have an obligation to teach Torah. And the chinuch, the whole chinuch, comes with the father. The father's supposed to be the one sitting and learning Torah all the time. He's the one who therefore has the obligation to educate. What? We're not, we didn't get to that question. I'm talking about, I'm focusing now on the mother. I'll get to the daughter. Trust me. Excellent. Excellent. Al tikash Torah b'nevesh. Listen to the chastisement of your father and listen to the teachings of your mother. It doesn't yet mean that's a good advice, because your mom's pretty smart. It doesn't mean that she's obligated. You haven't proven yet to me that she's obligated. All we've heard is that it's good advice that you should listen. That's how I show the shows. The Torah's coming. They're giving you good advice. Listen to your mom. She's got experience. She's a good Torah Jew. She knows what to do. Ask her. But it doesn't mean that Shema B'nei Musar, that's in the Mishnah. But it doesn't mean that she's obligated. Obligation, indeed. There's no question that Judaism counts on women to be educated. Better yet, women are not obligated to a rule. Those women. The fact that you're not obligated sets up a priority. No, these are priorities. I can't do anything to a woman who says, I don't want to have kids. I don't want to get married. She decides, it's too dangerous, I don't want to get married. That's what the Mashiach HaKadosh says. You can't obligate a woman to do something that might be dangerous. So the Chazal, free rule. So the Torah did not obligate women. They count on it, but she'll do it willingly. Same thing with education. I can't force the woman to be educated. She doesn't want to be the educator. Okay, according to Reish Lakish, right? But certainly count that she'll do it. We want it. A good family is based on the mother of the educator. She probably is the prodigy. Okay, or she might be the prodigy. So, we don't yet know how Rabbi Yochanan works. Now I want to give you some, now we're going to try to set up the sources. Are there other sources other than this Gemara and Nazir? Let's look at an interesting Gemara in Gemara Sukkah. Okay, this is not okay. Sukkah shehid voha l'mama me'esrim ama. A sukkah which is taller than 20 amos high, sula is not possible. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir Ad Arba'im L'Chamishim Amos. Rabbi Yehuda writes it up that it's good enough to 40, 50 Amos. An Amos is about a foot and a half to 2 feet, so probably about a second. You can get up to 80, 100. I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. I'll prove to you that I'm right. Maser Be'yumi. Actually, you're right. But if you go to any Yeshiva, you're not a Yehuda. But you're right, it's Helen. Heleni. Remember, surely. Masa, forgive me for my yeshiva training. Masa be Heleni Hamalka Belud. Heleni Hamalka had in this castle in Belud. Shaheta Sukkotai Bohan Yasin Hamal. We don't know how tall it was, but we know it was certainly taller than 20 Hamal. Vahayim the Knesset Yotzin Roshan. And the Kenim would come in and out of the Sukkot of Peir. But no, I'm gonna go about it. They didn't say anything to her that you know, so they said here, Shama Haya, she let him out, surprise, surprise, was a woman. So she's fucking from a sukkah, and therefore she could have done whatever she wanted to, so they didn't criticize her. She wanted her. A fancy sukkah. The fact that it was all the 20 hours, they couldn't criticize her. Was not obligated to sukkah in the first place. Amar Lahem, so he said, you just said to them, Bahalo Shiva Banikhula, she had 7 sons. Right? She had 7 sons with sweet sacrifices. And what's more, Kol Masalo Asa'el Aki Chachamim. All she did, she only did what the Chachamim told her to do. She was a very righteous queen. And she did whatever the Chachamim told her. So they all they had him say a word in then she would have done it right. The Rabbi Gemara asks, Rabbi Lila Mitne, what do I need both reasons? For all kol maser lo aser elav. What do I need the second reason for? Why isn't the first reason enough? Now, you'll see the explanation, you'll see why this is. This is what we mean to say. Kitomam vanim, you said she had seven sons. Okay? Seven sons, your son. What is the Gemara's assumption? It says the Gemara is now explaining its answer. He said, she's a woman, yeah, but she had seven sons. She says, what's the proof? They could have been minors. Kitomam vanim ktanimayu. Uktanim peturim in a sukkah, that they're, even though they're male, they're also plucked from the sukkah because they're minors. There were shiva, there were seven sons. The kivan de shiva havu, they were seven. I eksha de lo havu chad she'enot zonkimo. There's got to be one that doesn't need his mom. That means he's, I know, every mother thinks her son needs it. But it's seven. The point is that there are seven kids. The oldest is at least seven. Probably older, right? So he's at least seven. By 7, 8 years old, the kid's running around and he doesn't hang on his mother's apron strings. So it's already an age of a kid who's independent. And at that point, chinuch starts. Chinuch is generally assumed to start at the age of 6. Okay, at 6, the kid's going to school by himself. Right, with a tear, has more. But the kid goes to school, there's a little bit of independence. That's when the chinuch starts. So the first answer is, if there are seven sons, even if they're minors, there's at least a mitzvah of chinuch. And when you mechanech, you got to do it right. Now that's an understood assumption. All the rishonim say, what's the proof? Some shit she taught them, but the sukkah was not a... When you give your kid a rubah and esrog, that has to be kosher. You can't give your kid a pasul of an escrow. It's not a order, it doesn't have to be a $50 set, but it's got to be kosher. So similarly, when she educated her child, there had to be a kosher sukkah. The chi came through, and if you're going to say, katan she'im otzach li'imo, midirabanan hudu machayim, and if you're going to say that a child who doesn't need his mother? That's only rabbit that you're obligated in chinuch. V'ihi v'devabanan lo mashkecha. And she wasn't so careful about listening to the rabbis, listening to rabbinic edicts. Shema, so the commissioner comes and tells you, v'od kol maser lo asta elachicham. No, she was a very righteous woman. She did everything the rabbis told her. She was kalaka v'chamuva. She didn't only worry about the big thing, she also worried about the little thing. And the rabbi said that education starts at 6, she would make sure to educate them properly, even if they're only non-situated.
Okay, so completely assume that she did have enough.
Got it!
You have to
forgive me, you're getting involved in some ethics. She has an obligation to make sure that you can smoke. That's not chinuch. That's chinuch. What is she? If she's not obligated to chinuch, she doesn't have to provide them nothing. Zilch. Zero. Nothing. Nothing.
These children are not old enough to be concerned about the mitzvah of sukkah.
What?
The problem here is not the mitzvah of sukkah because they're not old enough to have that mitzvah. It's only chinuch that would be an issue.
Tefillin, when you're 13, she has no obligation. And once you're 13, you have no chinuch. And I know these parents believe that chinuch just begins when the chinuch starts 12, 13 years old. But the truth, halachically, obligation-wise, 12, 13, no chinuch that anyway. Hold on, just keep hanging there. Get me loud, we talked about it. Okay. So, point one, this Gemara does seem strongly to suggest that Hilani Amalka was obligated in the chinuch of her sons. Okay. Let's look at the next Gemara, Gemara in Chagiga. Mishnah, Hakol Chayavim B'Riyah. All are obligated in coming to Yerushalayim on the regal and to be seen, to see and be seen in the Beit HaMikdash. Of course, there's a long list of who's not obligated. People who are sick, people who have broken legs, who can't walk. The Katan, a minor, the Nashim, each for different reasons. Nashim, because it's a mitzvah that says, Mama. Women are free. So the Gemara asks, Eze hu Katan. What's the definition of a minor? Kol shem yochol yirkov al tefav shel aviv v'lalot v'rushalayim ha'abayim. He's so small that he can't sit on his father, because he used to walk up the hill. So he, if he could sit on his father's shoulders, says Beit Shammai, didn't say Beit Shammai, says Beit Shammai, he's got to sit on his father's shoulders on the Mayan there, like 2-3 years old, right? Then that's at the age which is obligated already to go up. The kid's able to walk a distance and uphill. If he's not old enough to walk up to walk uphill, he's not chayav. Shnema shmot chavgimel, as it written in shmot chavgimel, shlosha regalim. The obligation is an obligation of a regal. So when you're able to regal it, if you can walk it up, that's where the obligation begins. Now look at Rashi. Eizu katar. Avo mikan ve'elech. From this point on, that is, who's katan younger than these ages is not chayav. What about older than these ages? Even though the obligation in the Torah starts at what age? 13. So Rashi clearly holds both the mother and the father are obligated to chinuch. That is, that for instance, by the Iya, this is an interesting point. Suppose the father is ill and can't go up. The mother would have to take him up. Not because she's obligated to go up. Because he's obligated to shum chino. So she, even though she's not obligated, it's such as my mother, she's not going to take him up. Okay. The Mi'iri. The Mi'iri and Nazir are this machloket Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan writes as follows. Kishem she'ish chayav lachanech et b'no b'mitzvot. Just as a man is obligated to educate his son in mitzvot, ach b'bito chayav lachanech. He's also obligated to educate his daughter. This is a point we'll discuss in the next year. B'mer she'ro'i lo dachot. But she's as it's written explicitly by the fast of Yom Kippurim, and we're going to come talk about this. One of the sources of educating is what's called the teach your kids to fast a few hours. And the Gemara says explicitly that you have to teach your daughter to fast on Yom Kippur, like the boys. Okay? The chinuch sha'ol shabbat. Sorry, the chinuch sha'ol. That's one of the clear sources that a father has an obligation to train his children, male and female. V'chein im ein lahem av, and when they don't have a father, ha'en chayevet v'chah. Now notice, the Miri is saying something a little different. The Miri is at the middle position, that what? That the father has the primary obligation. When there is no father, then the mother then has her as an obligation. She has an obligation. She is an, but as far as who is the primary educator, it's the father. Okay. Now, amongst those who disagree with this school is the Tosfot Rishonim. Now we have on the Gemara one collection of Tosfot. Different collection. There is another, we have a whole collection called Tosot Yishanim and Yoma. And let's see what the Tosot Yishanim says. The Rebbe Omer, my teacher says, it's the middle of the Tosot, the long Tosot, right in the middle of the Tosot. The Chinuch lo shayach ela ba'av. Chinuch is only I'm a father. I'm a ba'adam acher, but I'm another, a stranger, uncles, cousins, lo shayachim, there's no obligation. So now, so what's his problem? His problem is it only falls on the father. The master did the learning amalka, the place of the learning amalka. She yashvadi v'shiva b'nabasuka. She, you see, right? She's not the father. She is an other as far as this authority is concerned. Shema kabbalah and ab, the king from the father. Maybe the wedding is married. The Lord doesn't mention her marital status. Throughout the Talmud, the assumption seems to be that she was divorced. We don't know. Excellent question. Ask the question. Okay. Hold on to the question. Shema Havalehem Am V'chim Chambachach. Maybe there was a father there. We don't know. He says maybe they sat in the sukkah with the Lenny Amalka, but there was a father there. Maybe he wasn't married. Maybe she was divorced. Could have been a father, that's why they weren't in the sukkah, you can ensure that they didn't have a big son in the sukkah. Therefore, that's why she's. The implication though seems to be that she was the one who was but the father. It's not clear. But at least there's no proof.
So it does say that she was a father.
According to this Tosin Shem, of course, called a mother. This also shows that the only one who's able to get educated is a father.
So what happens if there's a
father? Ask the question. But the mother does not necessarily come into the picture. Vafilo lo hayo lehem av, and even if they didn't have a father, haytan lecham cham benitzit ba'amah, she volunteered to do it. The Gemara is assuming she volunteered, not that she was obligated. She wanted them to grow up right. So she did it, but not that she was obligated. The fact that the kids were in the sukkah with their mother doesn't mean that she was obligated, because as any good Jewish mother would have done, even if she's not obligated, she'll do it, because that's the way you raise a good Jewish kid. Right? Nobody has to tell me that I have to be chayav in educating my kids for me to educate my kids. So she wasn't educated, but she did it anyway. That's what the question shows. Okay. Now, turn now to the Shmirat Shabbat Kiyur Chayav. I'm sorry, page 16. Probably page 16 in the Hebrew and page 10 in the Hebrew. Shmirat Shabbat Kachata, in a section on education, children, writes as follows. Chovat Chinuch Habanim, the obligation of educating children, the Rosh of the Rishona, Itilu Chachamim Zal Alaha, is the primary obligation of the father. Ado Yesh Menaposkin HaSohel, the Rabos Mohol, Shigama Eim Chayevet, Liyot Shitafa B'Chinuch Banah, that the mother is also obligated to be a Shitafa, to be a part of it. Now there's one third shita which we saw, the Meiri's position, that the father is the primary educator. If there is no father, then the mother, which explains the Lady Amalka, because she stepped in on the Meiri, but there was no father. Okay. Now, I want you to look at note 31 in the Hebrew, and in English it's, note 30. Okay. Let's read this note together. Note 30 goes on the fact, it deals with the question of Rish Lakish that a mother is not obligated. Refumash Eifo, Shiladat Rish Lakish Ishak Tuba Mikin Mukaban, the woman is free from educating each son. Kulam Yesh Nistapek Yim Rabbi Yochanan Oleg Alav Bifadzeh. There's a question whether the Rabbi Yochanan the Dad Magen Avraham, Magen Avraham was one of the major commentaries, super commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. The Dad Hegel of Rav Shimon Gimel Aleph, Ein Lahaniach, it's not logical, Shenechel Kuvra Biyochanan Vishkot Mishpatera. It doesn't make sense. Me'idah Gisa, Mefulash Ve'Me'iri, the Sugi Zeh, we look at the Me'iri, Shredat Rav Yochanan, Ein Hadel Beit Av Ve'Ein, Give me a call that I think there's no difference between the mother and the father. I think he inherits it. There is a difference. Because in the evening, the father is prior obligation, the mother has a subsidiary obligation. Now comes the quote of Gitvot Adifut Ha'av, meaning Chovat HaChinuch, because of the father's primary obligation and education, Hunka Lo Gam Zchut, he therefore gets a benefit. In the Gam Shubrnei Hazuk, Banim Scharim Misharim Etzlo Migil Shesh Mimala. The father will get custody of the children if they're over six because he has obligation. He has the obligation to educate them, but not the daughters. Now, this statement is pretty astonishing. And he cites a Rambam. I want you to read the Rambam with me, and then I'll tell you what exactly goes on in the court. Now this is essentially what it seems to suggest is that what he seems to understand, and we'll see, tell me what you see inside, is that because the father's obligation to educate his son, therefore he'll get custody of the sons at the age of education. Let's read the Rambam. It's a complicated halacha, and what goes on, we have to deal with, I'm not going to deal with all the aspects. Even though she nurses his child, Abba Notenla Yeter al Sfara, Dvarim Shekatan Sarifle, she doesn't get mazonot for the child, but she's nursing the child. And that's expected for her to do naturally as a mother, therefore he doesn't have to support her, because she's nursing. But he is what? But there are other expenses. That's exactly what it says. That is, he doesn't pay her for nursing his child. Okay? Aval notela yeter al sara, but he gets a more, she gets her sustenance, support, as we will see from him. Yeter sara, dvarim shakatan sarich la, miksut, umakad, umashter, misika. What are the additional food? Moses is getting rice cereal in addition to the nursing. So he has to pay for the like energy, food, diapers, and whatever else he needs. I will have a very good food. But if she's pregnant, she gets nothing. You know, I don't know all the details. Shalmu chadashav l'gemalto. She's 2 years of fast, as usually do now. And he's not 2 years old, and he's now weaning. Im ratzta ha'mugum kashet shiyeh b'na etzla. If she wants the child to stay by her, any mafrishin otomina, you don't take her away from the mother, achia ben shesh shanim b'mor, until he is 6 years old. Ela kofen et aviv, which you force the father, v'notin la mezonot, he has to give food, who is it? The father says, until the age of two, let's say the logic, until the age of two, the kid needs the mother. So it's obvious that you're not, the father's going to have to pay for the sustenance of the child. When the kid's over two, the father says, look, well, give me the kid back. You don't give me the kid back, you take them. Sure. So the Gemara is no. From the age of two to the age of six, she says, I want. She says, I want the kid by me, the kid stays by her. By her. He has nothing to say. Who is it? Zachar Sheshim, but after 6 years old, now what's the 6 years old? That's Chinuch, the age of Chinuch. Yesh la'am lomar, the father can say, Imhu etzli, look, this kid should be by me because I'm the primary educator, and you're keeping him. Right? Imu etzli, etem ha-mazonot, I'll support her. Imu etzel imo, enim etem ha-kvum. I'm not going to give him anything. Va'bat etzel ima la'ulam afim ra'ashim. the daughter stayed with the mother, he would have to such a child. Now let's look at what the writer says. I'm done. Let's look at what the writer says. Ain't official of Tom Mena actually meant shesh. In the world, you don't separate the child from the mother until he's 6 years old. And the custom of Abin to force the father to keep paying support. Amar Avram, in hand of that sovereign, this doesn't make sense. Shenakov et ha'av la'fliv mino minano, that we will force the father to be separated from his son, Achia ben Shesh, until he's 6 years old. Valu chayav lachan chotara. Ben Avu ben Hamesh, after all, the obligation of chinuch can start even at 4 or 5, depending on how smart the kid is and how much he picks up. The Echi Chancho Vugadel in Hakim, educated, is growing up with the women. That's the halacha, that's not the halacha, of course. But this halacha, as all the posts point out, is focusing on one thing. It's about the element of truth. But as the posts point out, this is only one factor. In de facto, the primary factor is the button. And in a modern situation, what you do is, chinuch is one situation, and after 6, the father says, chinuch, 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 I'm the primary educator, therefore I should have custody. On the other end, the mother will say, look, he's the mother, he's the mother, and I'm the better of the parent, better parent. And then they'll discuss what's the right of it, and then therefore you call in. You call in a psychologist and a social worker to evaluate the child, evaluate the parents, and essentially the bed in Paskin based on the bed. Okay? When all things are equal, then what can you do with that? Either the both wonderful parents, both are given easy upbringing, the son will go with the mother, if all things are equal, the son will go with the father, the daughter will go with the mother because of chinuch too. Because the assumption is that she will learn how to be a better woman by being with her mother. Both go about the other, and then there's an element of chinuch. Now, there's a very interesting situation. What's we talk about? What do we mean by chinuch? When we talk about chinuch, what does it mean? Is chinuch? There's a lot of things that come out of it. There's chinuch to learn Torah. There's chinuch to be a mensch. There's a chinuch even as far as sexual identity. That is, a boy needs a father. A girl needs a mother to learn their sexual identities. This, you think, is a very modern concept. The Rashba said the reason why you said give priority to the boy, to the father, is not to teach Torah. That's not the chinuch that we're talking about, says the Rashba. We're talking about sexual identity. We want the boy to have a strong father who's to identify with a male. Well, a mother that is strong female, this is why you do it. But that's only part of the total question of Torah the Yelid. And that's not his priority. That would obviously be the ideal situation, but what do you do with that? What do you do with this? But very often they don't give you what I told you now is based on my understanding. But when they don't, we tell them that this is the factor that goes on. The fact that there was an outstanding article someone who said, well, the Rambam said, even some people in the law journal, but the Rambam says Kafka. And Eliyahu Shochet wrote back to the distinguished lawyer and distinguished Rambam. The Jewish folks, that's not the way it goes. Chinuch is not the only consideration. And de facto, from the time of the writer, we're talking about the 1200s already, questions of sexual identity were being discussed. Which is better? It's not only chinuch, but what's better for the child as far as growing up? Is there a strong father image in the family? Is the mother remarried? All these Let's now move on to the next issue, which is Chinuch Habat HaKtana Lo Mitzvot, which is on page in the Hebrew, page 166. And in the English, page 274. We have about 10 minutes to go, so we'll get into this now. So let's sort of summarize. On the question of education, the poskim seem to believe that yes, a mother has an obligation to be an educator. Most poskim and most sources say that the mother does have an obligation. She may not be the primary. This is most obligation. But the mother seems to, though there is a poskim, but the consensus of the poskim is yes, the mother has an obligation to be an educator, even if not the primary. Okay. The issue we want to talk about now is an obligation to educate your daughters. Does one have an obligation to educate your daughter? Now, again, this question almost seems to be absurd. How do you even get this? This question is only absurd in the 20th century. See, there was an excellent article, an outstanding article, which I warmly recommend, and I think I've recommended it before, the article of Times of Nature. This is an article in which the Times of Nature demonstrates that our forms of education have dramatically changed as a result of the war. Before World Wars, there was essentially major education was called mimetic. You did what you saw in your parents' home. There was not any necessary formal education, which is formally do this, do that. But rather, it wasn't book learning, it was mimetic. You saw your mother, I can't do it for you. You saw your parents fasting, but you learned by us. By hanging around, by osmosis, that's how you make your form of education. It's only in the modern period where, and again, up to the late 1800s, Jewish communities, the streets spoke God, the homes spoke God, the shtetl spoke, even the goyim spoke God. It was a religious society. And therefore, the idea of learning from your neighbors, your friends, your community, was normative. After World War II, these communities were totally destroyed. Jews, in the World Wars, were schlepped from side to side, which is why we got into the whole question of women's education. That was the introduction. And I said, what was this dramatic transition that led the Chafetz Chaim in the end of the 1800s, the United to make this dramatic statement that our daughters, we're losing our daughters because they're getting no education. They're not getting education. Not that they didn't have an education before, they're still wanting. They need both education because we can't rely on the home, we can't rely on the community. You then have a strong, rich education that the women were getting for that particular home. Okay, so let's now see the sources inside. Okay. This now coming back to the very same Gemara that we started off with. This is the Gemara in Nozi. Says the Mishnah actually. Ha'ish madir et binar binazir. Right? The man can force his son to take on a oath of nazir. Amar Reish Lakish. Says Reish Lakish, why did you do it? To teach the son mitzvot. You mean to want to learn from here that he can only do it to his son, but he can't do it to his daughter? It says, the son, Daughter from the fact that you have to teach them to fast by hours. Says that's what the Mishnah wrote on the handout. So you see, this is the Gemara he's referring to, that there seems to be pretty clear evidence that the Mishnah, that the Jew had to teach it over. So now we have a little bit of a problem. Because according to Reish Lakish, he says you don't have to educate your children. And the Mishnah by fasting says you do have to. So the Tosfot, the Nazir, not this special Nazir, or he actually raises the question. Haha, Amrina, here we say by Nazir, he told love that you don't. Then make your daughter a Nazir, v'hakam amrina, and thereby fasting, echad tinok v'echad tinoket, machankin otam mitanot v'yom kipurim, you teach us the fasting of Kippur. But some of them, like the devil, there's got to be some distinction. Now, in any good argument, there are two ways of making distinction. One is to say, the Nazir is different. Another way is to say, Yom Kippur is different. One has got to be the rule, the other one's got to be the exception. Because of the Shanim, now is going to say, but they should have Nazir. Lo Aiva Elo Le'inyan Zirut. When we said that he doesn't have to educate her, that's as far as Nizirut. Because Nizirut is a tremendous Kiddush. What is Nizirut? Is Nizirut a normative lifestyle? On the contrary, it's a style that the halakha looks down upon. The person who takes nazir is one of the things he has to bring at the end of the zivut, it's a carbon chatah. So the fact that the father can do this to his son is a tremendous kiddush. It's limited, so we say, about the son, he's a wild Indian, you can do it to your son. But you can't do it to the end, but you don't have to educate your daughter in such ways. Okay? Says the Toshishan, no, I have an element. When we say you're not the educator, that's essentially being Toshishan and says, doesn't make sense. It's only by the Zibut. Certainly, by other Mitzvot, you have to educate your daughter. How could you function without it, right? And that's what the Rashi in Sahin. Adam, Mevi, Veshochet, and what is happening? That's what it means. Adam may be the shochet ayyidei b'no u'bitoa tanit. A person can bring a korban pesach via his children. Alav lechanchan, he has to educate them. Hilkam, bein midatan, bein shalom midatan, einan, ein yecholim yechol. There can't be any objection. I don't want to go into the middle of this particular point, but the thrust of what Tosa says in between here is that what? That you have to educate your son and daughter. Really simple is that this is your son and daughter. And that seems to be the thrust. And this, of course, is going to be our entree into a whole question of bat mitzvah, because that's part of the question of education. But this will be next year. Again, next, we're going to last year until after Pesach is next week. Next week, I'll talk about this. What to do in our next week.